I love this passage of scripture. It just really spoke to me, and this is why I wanted to share this. Humanity was a divine concept. Humanity was a divine concept conceived in the heart of the Trinity. And then it was materialized. That concept was materialized by God's breath blown on some planetary dust, some earthly dust from star debris. That's what it was, star debris. That's what our bodies are made out of. And this is the origin of the first Adam. That's how the first Adam was made, by God blowing on some dust. Well, similarly, the incarnation of God's Son was a divine idea conceptualized in the mind of the triune Godhead, the triune deity, and then physically conceived in the Virgin's womb by the miraculous breath of the Holy Spirit. And that's the origin of the second Adam, Christ. A virgin, Eve, had led the first Adam to sin, you know? And then what God used was a very great parallel, because it was the seed of a woman. You know, Mary was a virgin. No man. She knew no man. And she was a virgin. And she became what is called in theological terms the Theotokos, the God-bearer. That was the name the early church fathers gave to Mary, because she was carrying inside of her God, Christ, the Son of God. And that's what the word means, God-bearer. And that's Christ, the second Adam, okay? In Christ, God brought salvation to Adam's fallen race by creating a new humanity. God created in Christ a new humanity. It's not the old Adam's race anymore. It's a new race of Adam in Christ. And salvation isn't the salvaging of the old creation. It's the new birth of a new creation. It's the birth of a new creation. And for us believers, that's what it means to be born again. We become new creatures in Christ, a new creation. We're born the first time into the race of the old Adam. And then the Holy Spirit gives us new birth into the race of the new Adam, of Christ, bringing the new Adam into our hearts. And this is the theme of this whole message. I'll be repeating this. We were each born on purpose to be reborn for a higher purpose. We were each born on purpose to be reborn for a higher purpose. Our text not only tells about the miraculous conception of Christ, but it also mentions that of his forerunner. It was a miraculous conception as well, John the Baptist. And from both of these miracles, we can learn much about our faith and about the nature of salvation itself. And so let's start with the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's John. Luke's gospel starts with an angel Gabriel, his message to an old barren couple, in the priesthood, actually, in the priestly family, Aaron's family, and a Levite. And then it says this in Luke, this is part of Luke at the beginning, before we read the passage we just heard. When Zacharias saw him, the angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." With a barren wife, too old for childbearing, Zechariah didn't believe. He doubted this promise of pregnancy. He doubted that. But as a priest in the Levitical family, he knew the Old Testament prophecies about this child that was promised, this son. This son would move, it says in this passage, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Now, this was a prophecy in Malachi. Listen to it. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, that's two verses, and they are located at the very end of the Old Testament. The last two verses of the Old Testament are talking about the coming of John. It says Elijah, but it was the spirit of Elijah that was upon John, in a sense. That mantle fell upon him as the last of the Old Testament prophets. And it's right there in Malachi, showing it's the last word of the Old Testament that there's coming a forerunner. Well, newborns are all special. All newborns are special. And God blesses each of them with unique capacities for serving Him and serving others. But God gave John a head start. He gave John a head start. It says that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Now, merely by being a human, he was a voice. But he became a message. He was a voice because of having a human voice. But he became a message when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He made him the voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. God's purpose, His specific purposes for John and for us, they're all unique. All the purposes that are studying here in this room, they're all unique purposes. They have a lot of things in common, but they're unique to each individual because God calls us each. He has a purpose for each of us. But the power to fulfill those purposes is all the same. It's the Holy Spirit. And we're each born again on purpose to be reborn. It's the Holy Spirit that accomplishes the rebirth. So to be reborn for a higher purpose. Just as Mary, the mother of our Lord, says, Mary, the mother of my Lord, are the words that Elizabeth used in greeting Mary when she arrived. The mother of my Lord. Now, what happened in Mary? Something happened that was can't be duplicated. It's non-repeatable. What happened inside of Mary. And listen carefully to this. I have never read this anywhere, but what happened in her was this biologically correct incarnation, a miracle. It was a biologically correct miracle in the incarnation. And what does that biologically correct mean? Well, I have never read this anywhere, but I guess it's my OB background, but from being in a labor and delivery nurse and thinking in all these terms, that we're going to get a little bit anatomical here, or physiological, rather. Okay, so in her womb, in Mary's womb, was an egg, an ovum, they call them in proper terms. Ovum. She had an ovum. And that ovum was carrying the DNA that went all the way back to Adam. It went through the line of David, it went through the line of Abraham, it went through the line back to Adam. She was carrying the DNA of the old first Adam. Okay? Now, we all know that that's what Mary was. She was a descendant. She was part of the old race, you know, Adam's old race. And she carried that. But that ovum was fertilized with what? What is an ovum fertilized with? It's fertilized with a sperm. But that sperm did not come from the old race of Adam. Do you remember the blowing of God's breath, spirit, on some dust, some material stuff, became a human being, the first Adam. The second Adam became flesh. But where? in that sperm, carrying the DNA that was not of the old race, but the DNA of a brand new race of Adam, of humanity, a new humanity. The DNA was right there. And that was what fertilized that egg. And it was directly by the Holy Spirit, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, and then the conception happened. We know it was a true conception because it was not the implanting of a Jesus, a preformed Jesus zygote, you know, that was a growing zygote, you know, and then it wasn't that, a fertilized egg that the Holy Spirit had made. It was Mary's egg. And then it was the Holy Spirit making this new sperm so that there would be a union between the first Adam and the second Adam. It was a real conception. And that's what it says in Matthew. Do not be afraid. This is what Joseph was told. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that which is conceived. And I know what conception is, and you all do. Conceived. That's exactly what happened. And so that Jesus was carrying within himself a new humanity as well as the old one. Why was he carrying the old? Why did he need the old one? You know? Well, this Mary's miraculous conception was to be similar, to show something similar to ours. She became the first place. This is something that I thought of too. She became the first temple. Her body became a temple, the first one in the whole race of Adam to become a temple for God. And the rest of us now are temples of the Holy Spirit, who brings Jesus into our hearts and the Father. So yes, we're the temple of God too. We're also Theotokos. All of us are. I don't know if that's the right term. Theotokai, maybe. I don't know what in Latin what that is. But anyway, the Holy Spirit united the second Adam's DNA with that of the first Adam, so that Jesus could take our old nature to the cross to be crucified, never to rise out of that grave again. That's why we're dead. That's why baptism symbolizes that. We're dead. Our old life is dead. When we rise up, it's a new life. Just with the resurrection. We're still waiting for our bodies to be resurrected. We still got some of that old DNA, but listen what it says in Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's the whole point. God did not want us to be slaves to sin, and there's only one way out, not by trying harder to keep the law or anything else. It's by having Jesus in our heart and him to live out his life. I'm going to be talking probably about this the whole next year because I'm really on it. I love this whole thing about Christ in us, the hope of glory. All births are purposeful. All births are purposeful for this temporary world. Every person's born, and you can see, if you just go over your whole life, you can see how many ways that God has blessed and brought purpose into this world through you in different ways, having children, people you touch, different things like that. But the new birth gives us a higher purpose in God's eternal kingdom. Mary was born with a call to bring into the world her own Savior. Isn't that interesting? She had a call on her life, a destiny, to bring into the world. That was her purpose, to bring into the world her own Savior. And, you know, she needed the new birth too. Why did she need the new birth? Well, on the day of Pentecost, she was right there with the disciples. She was one of the 120 disciples that was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. She needs the Holy Spirit just like, she needs the Holy Spirit just like that. We say, well, there's some faiths that say she didn't need anything. She had it all. No, she needed the Savior. She called God Savior, you know. She needed a Savior. So it's because she's just like us. Born with a purpose to be reborn with a higher purpose. And we can learn much about what happened when this meeting happened. The faith and salvation is what we're talking about. Faith and then the salvation that God gives us. Mary entered, when Mary entered Zacharias' home, Elizabeth greeted her. Gabriel had said in verse 28 of this reading that we've had, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now, that's what Gabriel said to Mary. God's favor and God's presence were with Mary, not because of her good works, but because of God's grace. His favor was upon her by God's grace, just as it is with us. And we can see that because Elizabeth confirmed this. She said this later, or afterwards in this whole passage, her prophetic words at the close of the passage. Verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." That's what we all are called to do. We're all called to believe exactly what Jesus has told us, not necessarily what we feel. Now, I want to tell you something. Mary might not have felt anything. She might not have had a little trembling and all of a sudden, "I'm pregnant." She, just like everybody else, they don't know they're pregnant. They can't feel it yet. Maybe they get sick. A couple weeks later, maybe they start to get sickness or something, morning sickness. But no, Mary didn't feel anything right then. And she never felt anything, but she did believe what had just happened. She believed it. And you know, a lot of people say, "I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything." Go by what God's Word says. "According to your word, be it unto me." And then believe it. And that's what Elizabeth was praising Mary for her faith response to God. And that faith response is a picture of of us, what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to open ourselves up and have the kind of faith that Mary had. No matter if we feel it or not, to get Jesus in our hearts. And we know He's there. And we know He's there. Well, Elizabeth's response to Mary is a picture of Christian fellowship. In her womb, in Elizabeth's womb, was the last of the Old Testament prophets who would announce the Messiah's arrival. And that little tiny baby prophet inside the womb, who was only, I figured this out, it's 27 weeks gestation. At 27 weeks gestation, this prophet, little baby prophet, was on his job. He was doing his job. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Now, that had to be spiritual filling. So he was filled from his time of birth. He had an advantage over us, you know. He had it all at the beginning. He was filled from the beginning to do God's will. So, looking at Elizabeth, the honor, the respect, and the love that we show to other Christians is really being shown not just to our brothers and sisters, but it's being shown to Christ who indwells them. We're showing, if we honor anyone within the body of Christ, we are honoring Christ because of their union with Christ. He lives inside of them. Here's what it says in Corinthians 6:17. "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with him." You've got to stop thinking about being on your own. You never will be again. You always have Jesus with you. It's not, "Oh, this happened to me." No, it happened to us. Right? To Jesus and me. He's in me. He knows what's going on. Inside. He looks through my eyes. He hears what I hear. He goes where I take my feet. And He touches when I touch someone. He visits people when we visit them. So that visitation thing is really important. We weren't born into this world just to live in separation, but to be in union. In union with God and with other believers. Jesus provided this possibility by His incarnation and His cross and His resurrection. but also, especially, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, where by which the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes through the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives within us. We were born, each of us, on purpose, to be reborn for an even higher purpose. Jesus wants to live His life through us, in us and through us. And He won't force it on us. He doesn't force salvation on anybody, and He doesn't force Himself even inside of Christians. He wants us to yield to Him. He wants us to receive new birth and then have that kind of faith that Mary had, that I am the Lord's servant. That's the point of this whole thing for us. We need to emulate the faith that Mary had, that whether we feel it or not, we're pregnant with Jesus. He's growing inside of us. Or maybe He's not growing. Maybe we're growing less of ourselves and we're growing into Him. And that's what we're supposed to do. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said, according to your word. As you have said. Let's pray. Father God, as you have said so many things to us, Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in your word. Whether we feel things or not, it doesn't matter. What your word says is truth, and that is what we proclaim by faith, whether we feel it or not. And yet at the same time, Lord, as we walk in the Spirit, it says that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You came to destroy this whole sin factor, not just the past sins to forgive them, but to stop the sin machine. And help us, Lord, to produce the fruits of righteousness through the Holy Spirit. Just exactly what you did. And you said for us to follow you. You did the works of your Father. You said the things your Father wanted to be said. And we have the same Holy Spirit in us, speaking your words and telling us your will. Help us to obey, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.